The Reverend Richard Cizik is president of the New Evangelical Partnership for the Common Good. He's calling on the board of the National Association of Evangelicals to take a leadership position on the issue of climate change, and is urging that environmental concerns be a priority for the new evangelical movement. Rich, welcome to State of Belief Radio again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Walton.
I have a hunch we ought to start with a quick definition in case some of our listeners aren't familiar with the concept of new evangelicals.
Well, here's how we define it, and we call ourselves new evangelicals because we are evangelicals. But we believe that we need a new public engagement by evangelicals in this country that, one, is about love, not hate, that's about unity, not division, that is about a broad agenda of issues including the environment, poverty, and human rights, and the like, and not simply the litmus test issues of the religious right. And then lastly, new evangelicals are people who don't sublimate their Christian faith to a political ideology.
Mm-hmm.
I think that to sublimate that is to make our faith secondary to a political ideology, whether it's the right or left, mm-hmm. is really a heresy.
Mm-hmm.
C.S. Lewis called it the devil's lie, namely to make politics more than it ought to be. And we certainly have a kind of politics in America that's merged with religion nowadays in which a lot of people are unwilling to compromise about anything mm-hmm. because, in my estimation, they've made ideology a god. And I think new evangelicals are appreciative of the need for compromise. We are people who believe in finding common ground. Thus, the name of the organization that we've adopted is New Evangelical Partnership for the Common Good, because we as Americans have lost that concept that we have to work for the common good.
You know, I think I heard applause. Rich, you've posted a petition on groundswellmovement.org aimed at the National Association of Evangelicals. What's the objective of the petition, which has already received several thousand signatures?
The objective, Walton, is simply to ask the evangelical leadership of the association, which in the interest of disclosure, I should say, I worked for the association for 28 years, left in 2008 for a variety of reasons, including my stance on climate change, civil unions, Barack Obama, and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've waited these 5 years in hopes that the association would finally acknowledge publicly the reality of climate change occurring as it is around the globe, and our moral responsibility as evangelical Christians to address these issues, especially issues that impact the poor, mm-hmm. most of all. And I've waited in hopes that the organization would do this, but it hasn't. That despite the fact that in Cape Town, South Africa, 3 years ago, all the evangelicals who meet at the Lausanne meeting adopted a statement similar to what I'm asking for the association to do here in the United States, simply that these developments, namely climate change, is real. We're doing this. It's anthropogenic in nature mostly, and that we have a moral responsibility out of our concern for neighbor. In other words, Jesus' own admonition, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, to do this. But I have waited, and with no ill will intended whatsoever, and with goodwill, because I consider these my friends and colleagues, I'm simply saying that the evangelical leadership of America, of the NAE, the National Association of Evangelicals, still considers itself a leader. It should take this step. And it's not too much to ask. We're not even asking for the organization to adopt some kind of politics on this, for that matter. We're simply saying this is a biblical thing. And yet, we wait. And so sometimes, as you know, Welton, you engage in private diplomacy. We do that with governments all the time. We do it as people with our friends. We engage them privately. And then at times it's important to engage in public diplomacy. And this is a form of public diplomacy, simply holding the church leadership responsible.
Now, Rich, you have the audacity to think that climate change and the environment are moral issues. Jesus didn't have anything to do with that. I've been told that.
Well, Jesus, we were told during the Civil Rights Movement, didn't have anything to say about civil rights either. Or we were told by people in the conservative religious movement back in the 1950s and 60s that, well, the Bible sanctioned segregation or the like. Yeah. And it, of course, did none of the sort. But what I'm saying today, to make a comparison that I hope people won't be offended by, I was, as the slave ship commander John Newton said, I once was blind, but now I see. Mm-hmm. I had a conversion on the science of climate change, and I don't think it's hyperbole to quote John Newton on the subject, given the appalling and disgusting degradation to which he stooped. That was racism, slave ship racism, and from which he was rescued. And so for those who have the eyes to see, they must recognize that the enslavement of racism finds parallels in the unjust raping of the earth that plunged millions upon millions into powerless poverty in today's world as environmental refugees, and that's already occurring. And so I happen to think, in contrast to my critics and those who don't see it this way, that yes, the climate change is the civil rights issue of the 21st century.
Mm. The fact is that evangelical Christians influence scores of people in this nation, and if that very valued community would pick up on the crucial moral issue of environment and climate change, could make all the difference in the world. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And when you consider the fact that Republicans are heavily influenced themselves by evangelicals, because evangelicals constitute 40 to 50% of the Republican Party in America today, if the evangelicals were to speak out on this issue, you might not have the 160 members of the House of Representatives, 160 Republicans of the House of Representatives, who don't believe in the reality of climate change. And right. So I think that the importance of the organization to speak out is self-evident. Right. In fact, you could say, Welton, that it's a sign of our respect for the association that we ask it to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what is really occurring, to quote my friend Larry Schweiger, who's the head of the National Wildlife Federation, in his book Last Chance, what is occurring is a matter of political expediency over ethical leadership, and Larry calls it willful blindness.
Yeah.
Willful blindness.
Rich, on your website, there's a video critical of the Obama administration on their stewardship of public lands that could be considered as coming from the left. It suggests that the president has been too accommodating on business interests. Is that first an accurate interpretation? And then are there other issues that you see being handled that same way? Because if that's true, that shatters the simplistic Christian right Obama left narrative that's led to a paralysis on so many issues.
Well, it is accurate, exactly what we're saying. Namely, that the equal ground we're calling for, that is for the Obama administration to equalize the amount of public lands it's granted already, about 6.9 million acres to oil and gas leases, to equalize that amount to that for wilderness, national parks, monuments, and the rest. So there's been a real disparity between the two. And so, yes, the Obama administration, which is constantly being attacked by Republicans for its so-called leftist policies, on this case, is very pro-business, has been very pro-oil and gas leases, and this isn't right either. Mm-hmm. And so we're simply calling to task the Obama administration and asking it to more boldly defend what it ought to be defending. In fact, it's not just the Obama administration on this one, it's the Republican House of Representatives, in which for the very first time since World War II, Congress has not taken the action it has customarily done to preserve national park, a national park, monuments, or the rest. And so this last Congress was the first time that didn't happen. And so this is public land. Mm-hmm. As Woody Guthrie sang so many years ago, this is my land, this is your land, it belongs to us, and we think the administration should acknowledge this. So we're not simply as a new evangelicals, we're not going to give the president a pass on something that's not right either. We're simply balanced, and we think we're right. I think in their hearts they know that we're right too.
Well, and I also think it's an excellent model of someone who understands that we can't let the politics of the nation define the moral priorities of the nation, and you're clearly showing that.
We're trying to be fair, and that's what I think so many people in this country already believe. I don't think we're all that unusual. Most Americans simply want us to find solutions, solve problems, govern the country like we're and they're elected to do, and we're responsible as citizens to help make happen. And so we need to get on with this, and enough of this business of shutting down the government, enough of this business of catering to special interests. Let's serve the common good. We know that the problem here isn't not having enough science. The problem isn't not having the resources to do these things. It frankly usually comes down to political will.
No. Right.
Will we have the political will to solve problems?
I have to tell you, I've been sitting here during this interview smiling the whole time because I know your passion, and I hear it, and I appreciate it. And actually, I'll just be very honest and say I was thinking about when Jesus said that a prophet's not without honor in his own country. Actually, you defy that. You are without honor in lots of circles of the evangelical community.
Now, yeah, I take my hits as you take yours.
But that leads to the question I wanted to ask you.
Yep.
You have really given up some very important parts of your life and sometimes in fellowship in order to do what you're doing. What is it that every morning gets you up with hope that some of the current polarization in our culture, and we have to be honest, a lot of it involves conservative religion being misused to manipulate politics. What is it that gets you up saying that can be overcome?
Well, I think it's rooted in a biblical Christian faith, but even beyond that, for those who don't share my evangelical faith, I simply subscribe to the 19th century presidential candidate, William Jennings Bryan, who wasn't evangelical, by the way, his admonition that destiny is not a matter of chance, but of choice, and not something to wish for, but to attain. And so I say to myself, as I say to others every day, my destiny, our destiny, is really ours to choose. And God help us if we don't.
Mm.
And I also say, social change begins with me.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, my first reaction isn't, if only the big corporations, Wall Street, government, the Tea Party would change or whatever. Most of the time, I just begin with the assumption each morning, dear Lord, help me to change to be the kind of person you want me to be.
Hmm.
And that gives me hope because I have changed.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
And I happen to think a lot of people have to change with me on these issues, and I see them having those kinds of conversions all the time.
I'm in full agreement.
And that kind of change is what gives me great, great hope, because I know it can happen. Because if someone like me, who had been a part of the warp and woof of the religious right for so many years, as head of the Washington office for the National Association of Evangelicals, if I can change, mercy, anybody can change.
Yeah, I have the same feeling as a former leader in the Southern Baptist Convention. The Reverend Richard Cizik is president of the New Evangelical Partnership for the Common Good. You can find his petition to the board of the National Association of Evangelicals regarding global climate change at www.groundswell-movement.org. Rich, I always enjoy being with you, and we don't get to do that enough, but I really am grateful to you for being a part of State of Belief Radio today and enlightening but also inspiring us.
Well, God bless you, my friend. I count it a privilege to be able to call you that.